Brother Beckham, why don't you come up? This morning we have Brother Beckham with us, and he'll be preaching for us. It's in our Sunday school class, the Filipino class, which is the best class, by the way. And just a tremendous lesson in there, and we're very thankful for him, and he was in our area, and I wanted to have him come preach for us. He's going to share a little bit. He has a book table back there, and a lot of good books, so I'd like him to share that. But we're grateful to have him with us this morning. He'll introduce himself and his wife here in a second, but let's give him a warm Pacific Baptist welcome as he comes.
All right. Well, good morning, and it's good to be here with you. I have just a few things I would like to mention about the book table. I have two new books back there, The Awareness of God and The House of Prayer or the Den of Thieves. Which one are you? And so that's back there. The prayer journal is also back there. And then my life work, the Intercessor Prayer Bible. All the prayers are highlighted, and you have 180,000 words of commentary explaining the prayers of the Bible. Took me over 20 years to get this done, and I'm so excited about it. It's really being blessed across America and foreign countries, and I am so glad. I'm also glad to hear that Pastor Esposito, is that the way you pronounce that? I hope I didn't murder your name, sir. But I am so glad to see you here, too. Let me call your attention, please, to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Psalms 37 is one of my favorite psalms in the Old Testament. And then Colossians is one of my favorite books in the New Testament. I preach out of it a lot. This morning I would like to bring a message to you by the title, The Prayer of Paul. You know, Paul was a praying man, and he walked with God. He had a relationship with God like no other man has ever had, I think. And so Colossians chapter 1, if you'll stand with me, and we'll get right into the message. Colossians 1. I have Psalms on the mind. Colossians chapter 1, Paul said this, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness." Let us pray, please. Father, thank you so much for opening this door this morning, so I can bring your word to these, your people. Father, I pray that souls will be saved and souls will be touched today. In Jesus' name, I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I have been asked down through the years, Brother Beckham, is there a list of men that prayed in the Bible? And I say there is. There are some men that prayed in the Bible. There are some ladies that prayed in the Bible. Let me give you some before we get into the message. Job prayed for his friends in Job 42 and verse 10. Moses prayed for Aaron in Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 20. Samuel prayed for Israel in 1 Samuel 7, 5, and 9. David prayed for Israel in 2 Samuel 24, verse 17. Hezekiah prayed for Judah in 2 Kings 19, 14 through 19. Isaiah prayed for the people of God in Isaiah 63 and verse 15. Daniel, the great Daniel, prayed for Israel in Daniel 9, 3 through 19. Ezekiel prayed for Israel in Ezekiel 9, 8. Nehemiah prayed for Judah in Nehemiah 1, 4 through 11. Jesus prayed for his disciples in John 17, 9 through 24. And by the way, that's the high priestly prayer. That's the real Lord's Prayer in John 17. And then the Jerusalem church prayed for Peter's release. And when God answered their prayer, they doubted it. And then Paul prayed for Christians. And then let me ask you, who have you prayed for today? Have you prayed for America? It's okay to pray for America. It's okay to pray for our leaders. Amen. It's okay to pray for the lost to be saved. It's okay. It is just okay. But my question still stands. Who have you prayed for today? Have you even prayed for yourself today? I hope so. Look in verse 9 with me. Verse 9, the Bible says Paul is praying here. And he says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Look at that phrase there. Be filled with the knowledge of his will. That word filled means to be completely filled or to be totally controlled. Paul wanted the Colossians to be controlled by the word of God, by the will of God. And when I think of this, Paul had never met these people. Paul didn't even know these people, but he had heard some things. He heard some wonderful things. And he wrote this letter, and he shared with them his desire for their lives. And he said it again. He said, "I want you to be totally controlled by his will." And we too are to be controlled by God's will. Amen. By God's perfect will. And if we are not, see, Proverbs warns us. He said that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. It is good for God's people to have a knowledge of his will. And do you know God's will in your life? You may say, "Brother Beckham, the will of God is so hard to find out." Oh, no, it's not. Not if you stay in the Bible. Not if you stay in the Word of God. It is easy to find the will of God. Can I show that to you in the time that I have left here this morning? Would you look in the Bible, and we won't go through the scripture, but for example, it is God's will to save everybody. Amen. And I know that right now, crossing and preaching like I do across America and around the world, let me tell you, Calvinism is spreading across the country again, and it is killing our churches. It is killing our Christian homes. And let me just go on record again this morning to say that it's heresy. It is very deadly. And you stay away from it. Don't even mess with it. Amen. Don't even take time to study it, because the Bible says, for whosoever will shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's good enough for me, isn't it, for you? And then it's God's will for you to be sanctified, for you to be pure, for you to be separated from the world. For the Bible word is sanctification. That's not a denominational doctrine, it's a Bible doctrine. And the Bible says, would you turn with me real quickly to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. Let me show you how simple the finding the will of God is. Look at it. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3 says, for this is the will of God. Isn't that simple? Yep. Oh my. For this is the will of God. What is the will of God? Even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. But by the way, we are to abstain from even the appearance of evil. We are to be a separated people, a peculiar people. And that's the will of God. You cannot be sanctified and have a prayer life. If you're not sanctified, you can't even have a relationship with God. And you understand that? It's so pure. It is so simple, but it's there. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. And then it is God's will. Listen to this one. Because the average preacher prays 12 minutes a day. The average lay person that comes to our fundamental churches prays less than 5 minutes a day. We need to know, God's people, we need to know that it is God's will for you and me to have a relationship, to have a prayer life with Jesus. Amen. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Listen to this verse. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. Why, Brother Beckham? Why should I do that? Why should I do that? Well, you are to do that because the Bible says so. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Did you know that? That it's God's will for you to have a relationship with Him, everyday walk with God. Did you know that? I'm sure you have heard it from this pulpit many times, that we are to have a personal relationship with God. Listen, I preach in a lot of soul-winning, Bible-believing churches. That's the only kind I will preach in. Amen. But I'll tell you, a lot of times, people will walk the aisle and they'll say, Brother Beckham, I have been out of the will of God because I just don't pray like I should. Oh my, get back on the altars. Get back into your prayer closet. Amen. Because see, if you're not praying like you should, then you're not in the will of God. And if you're not in the will of God, you're in trouble. You're going to be miserable. Amen. So there it is, very plainly. And then once you are saved, once you are sanctified, once you have a relationship, a walking, talking relationship with God, then you are to be filled with the Spirit of God. That is also the will of God. Look in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Look at it with me. The Bible says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding." Understanding what, preacher? Understanding what the will of the Lord is. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be" what? "Be filled with the Spirit." So, listen, how can you find out if you're filled with the Spirit? It's not hard. If you are loving, if you have joy in your heart and all those, fruit of the Spirit, if you have those in your life, you're in the will of God. But if you're not practicing those things in your life on a daily basis, that means you're out of the will of God. And I'll say it again as lovingly as I can, then you're out of the will of God and then you're in trouble. Then if all I do is preach this message and really don't live it, listen, I'm in trouble too. Amen. I am in trouble too. And look in verse 10 with me now. The Bible says, what is the results of all of this? What is the results of this message? Well, the results of it is a worthy walk with the Lord. Amen. We are not just to say we love the Lord. We are to show it by walking worthy. Look at verse 10. "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto some pleasing." It doesn't say that, does it? It says unto all pleasing, "being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness." In everything we do as a child of God, it should be pleasing to the Lord. Not just some things, but all things. We are to please God in everything we do. Is that Brother Beckham's interpretation? No, sir. I'm not an interpreter. I'm a preacher. And I'm here to just give you not my interpretation of this, these verses, but I am here to let you know that this is God's word to you and me. And if we are not pleasing God, and if we are not being fruitful in every good work, and if we are not increasing, growing, maturing in the grace of God, we are in trouble, church. Amen. If we're going to ever have revival in America and around the world, and yes, I'm one of those preachers that believes that you can have revival, that you can have a world revival, but we're going to have to get back in the will of God. It's a must. Is a must. We have to start pleasing God with our wife. We need more soul winners knocking doors. But I tell folks all the time, your efforts of soul winning is useless if you're not in the will of God in these areas. It's useless. Anyone can knock a door. But we need to be knocking doors in the will of God. Yes, sir. Amen. And it's not just as we go out that we are in the will of God. There's other things that we have to do before we go out. These are very essential things. These are necessities that we must have in our life. And that word walk, let me give this to you, is used in the Bible to refer to one's pattern of daily, not weekly, not monthly, but daily conduct with the Lord. Amen. And a mind that is controlled by the will of God and the wisdom of God and the understanding will produce a worthy walk. Let me ask you, I teach this in all the Bible colleges that I get to go to, and I get to go to most every one of them, of our camp anyway, and I tell the young men, if you're going to preach the word, apply the word. Apply it to the people that you preach to. Preaching the word is great, but with no application, it is useless. We need to apply it. Because if we don't apply, it's like going to a buffet. Let's say Pastor and I went to a buffet, and I'm not hinting, preacher, but if we go to a buffet and he just piles his plate full of food, and I walk right behind him, and when he got done putting food on his plate, he looks around at me, and I have a clean plate. I don't have nothing. Well, he's going to get full. I'm going to stay empty. And that's what we need to do. When we come to church, we need to make sure that we listen well, that we be honest with ourselves, and that we are walking a worthy walk. Paul really emphasized this in 1 Thessalonians 2:12. He said that you walk worthy of God who have called you into his kingdom and glory. Ephesians 4:1, he said, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Philippians 1, verse 27, he said, stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for faith of the gospel. Very simple. Very simple stuff. The Bible is a simple book, but it's powerful. And we got to live it. So let me ask you this morning, as lovingly as I can say it, in these areas of God's will, can you honestly say, this little group right here, can you honestly say, yes, Lord, yes, Brother Beckham, I am in the perfect will of God in those areas? How about this little area right here? Think about this. I love you. Listen. Listen. Can you say, I am in the perfect will of God, Brother Beckham. I am pleasing God in all things. I am walking worthy. Yes, preacher, I am in the will of the Lord. How about this section here? This section. This section. This section. Can you honestly say that? Benny Beckham, stand back for a minute. Benny, can you say to this church that you are walking worthy and that you're in the perfect will of the Lord right now as you're standing before them in the will of God? You know, the only ones that knows that is you and God. The only one that knows that is me and God. But we need to be honest, don't we?
Yep.
And I hope and I pray, would you do me a favor? Would you stand to your feet, please? And if you're not in the will of the Lord, why don't you just get out of your seat and come down. Get on the altar and just say, Father, I haven't treated you like I should. I have really messed up. Father, I love you. I want you to forgive me. Folks are coming. Would you think about that? Just be honest. You may be here this morning and you said, "Preacher, I have realized I need to be saved." You think he could save me, preacher? Hey, he saved Saul. He was a chief of sinners. And God saved him. And he will save you too. But you have to call upon him. You have to believe and call, and then he'll do the rest. Can Brother Beckham ask you another question, please? Are you obeying right now? As the Spirit of God speaking to you, are you obeying? Are you obeying? Pastor's going to come and carry on the invitation. Thank you. Thank you for listening so well this morning. Love you. Love you in the Lord. And I hope that you have obeyed him. I hope you have. If not, do so before you leave the building. If you need to talk to someone, talk to them before you leave. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Let's pray together. Our Father, we're so grateful for this morning. We're grateful for the tremendous truth that we heard. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to be in your will. Father, I pray that you would, Lord, keep us. Lord, convict us when we start to deviate. Lord, help us to make whatever corrections that are necessary, that we may walk worthy and fulfill your will for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.